coming up on Dig It.
As you know, I hate having my photo taken. I'm not a model. I don't know how to sit. People do your hair and makeup and you're like, I look like a stuffed pig. And I used to feel like a sex doll.
Back in the day, I would definitely wear stuff that was just too tight and was horrendously uncomfortable. And I'd be wearing it just because I felt like I ought to, because whether it was the male gaze or just the public gaze, I'm not entirely sure.
But can you imagine if one of your friends started to date your daughter? You wouldn't. I don't think I'd cope. I wouldn't.
All of that right after this.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, diggers, first and foremost. Welcome to the show and hi to Zoe. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, darling. I think I've got a tag somewhere. No, that's it. You know when you left a tag in your jumper? Sorry about that. Just feeling up my armpit.
I always get that with Steve. He's always like, oh, you got to, if I buy anything new, oh, you left your tag out. And I'm, for some reason, it makes me really defensive. I'm always like, yes, I know. I was just about to cut it off, even though I didn't know at all. What is it that makes us do that?
I know. I've got a real issue with tags in knickers. It's like, why would you put the tag there? It's like really uncomfortable. And then if you cut them or pull them sometimes, then they have a ridge bit that then digs in you. Oh, I know. Get me on the rant hotline, for goodness sake.
There's a subject. We could rant forever, couldn't we?
We could rant. Oh, get it off your chest. Actually, I'm in a really good mood because my girl stayed here last night. Yes.
Oh, you had Nelly for the night.
It's a rare thing these days. Because she's often at her dad's and it's so much easier for her to have one base. That's fine. But she stayed the night. And she stayed in my bed because there was loads of stuff on her bed. So I was like, yes. But apparently that's not cool. So we've not put this on the pod.
Oh, no.
Wink, wink. I said to her, you won't hear it anyway. She went, yes, but my friend's mums will. Like, damn it.
My parents, like, who there is so much to talk about with my parents. There is so much to say. And now I've got the fear. After my dad called me a shit, I don't dare say anything about them at all. Apart from if anybody else has got parents and you're trying to sort out their pills, solidarity to that little tribe, my God, the whole thing about trying to get them into, I think they're called, I'm learning a whole new lexicon now, dossets, yeah. I think are little boxes where you have like day, morning, afternoon, evening, Monday, Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then they know which tablets to take at which time. My dad seems incapable of actually bothering to look at those and bothering to take the tablets half the time. But that's a whole other argument, which I'm sure other diggers will be having with their parents as well. But yeah, God, it's complicated.
Look, I thought it was bad for me with my supplements, but you know what? I've kind of given up on half of them at the moment. You know, sometimes you look at them and you think, what do these even do? But that is probably what your dad is looking at thinking, what does this even do? Do I need to take these? Yes, you do, Joe's dad.
Yeah. The other day, no, he was like, I just don't feel I need to take them. And a whole room full of us were going, no, Dad, you really do. You've got Parkinson's. And then he went, but doesn't Parkinson's just go away? And that was like the heartbreaking moment of the whole chat. And we all went, no, Dad, it doesn't. But if you take the tablets, it will help. But every day, it's like Groundhog Day, you know, you have the same conversations over and over again.
We're going to be like this for our kids one day. You realise that, don't you?
I suspect we are, even though I keep promising them I absolutely won't be. Yeah. And India just keeps going, I'm the eldest daughter. I just know that I'm going to end up being the one who looks after you all. At which point all the other siblings just melt away and they're like,
something to do. But yeah, poor India. She really will have. See, that was the good thing about, you know, I love the fact that the kids have each other So at least they'll be able to call each other and be like, oh, my God, yeah. Mum's being crazy. Can you come out? But Nell does just keep saying, don't worry, I'm going to put you into a home. And I'm like, yeah, fine.
I'm so pleased for you that you had Nellie to stay. It's really precious. Just those nights. Did you watch anything in particular? What did you do? You snuggled, obviously.
She was watching Love Island, and then she literally just came and clambered into bed. Because I think she'd gone to a post-GCSE party, but it had all been called off. And as is, her social life is going to be quite hectic this summer. So I am grateful for any time that she is home early. I'm like, yay. And I don't have to lie there worrying about where she is or how she is. Yeah. Or
I tried to watch Love Island. I don't know whether you've dipped into it at all, but in previous series, I've actually like thrown myself into it with Coco, and I've kind of followed the storylines. I've followed the people. I've got quite obsessed with some of them. And this time I was like, I am so old and they are so young. And they've had so much work done for the age that they are.
I think my Love Island days are done now. I've done a lot of Love Island. And actually, I have to say, I have loved it. And I'm quite excited. Sometimes I go in the hairdressers when Hadley does my hair. I sometimes see Chloe or Millie in there. And I'm like, God, Chloe and Millie. But yeah, and you see there's a few Love Islanders from Brighton who I sometimes see around, and I think, I know you. Why do I know? Oh yes, of course. Cause I watched you and most of your body in on an island for 10 weeks or whatever it is that you commit to.
Yeah. If you're loving Dig It so far, hit follow or subscribe, and that way you'll get brand new episodes as soon as they're out. You know Rebecca Lucy Taylor from Self Esteem?
Oh, yes, love her.
She was talking about how she used to dress and how she used to be when she was younger. I think the quote from her was, my indie sleaze era during my 20s, because it was just about trying to dress for indie boys and not having any voice of my own. It breaks my heart when I look back on it now. And that kind of resonated, because when you're younger, you do dress for other people rather than how you want to dress yourself. Like now, I just want to be comfy. I just want to be comfortable and wear jeans and stuff that doesn't itch or pull or confine me or anything like that. And I know what she means. Back in the day, I would definitely wear stuff that was just too tight and was horrendously uncomfortable. And I'd be wearing it just because I felt like I ought to, because I was doing it for whether it was the male gaze or just the public gaze. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I was so desperately unfashionable for so many years. And I look back and think, what the dickens was that? But then I think my peak was late 90s, where suddenly, sadly, I had a really bad heartbreak. But actually, I suddenly was like, oh, I'm having fun. And I was out and it was Britpop, and suddenly you're invited to things, and there was just a real, I don't know. And I look back and I think, wow, I wore some amazing stuff and I loved wearing it. I think I did a couple of photo shoots, which I used to dread, you know, do any sort of male magazine photo shoots, because I, as you know, I hate having my photo taken.
I'm not
a model. I don't know how to sit. And people do your hair and makeup and you're like, I look like a stuffed pig. I used to feel like a sex doll, like, and just feel so horribly uncomfortable. But then I did a couple of shoots with great photographers and a great stylist who put me in some fab things that I thought, hang on a minute, I'm going to work this. And then I just had a few years of just loving fashion. And, you know, I don't know whether I wore it well, but I look back and I'm like, God, I was so lithe. I was just so that I hit a little kind of, I think it lasted about 2 years. So I look back at those days and think, how great to just at that point, find your groove in a way, find your look, find something that worked for you for a little bit. And also I didn't really care too much, because I think I started partying and it was like, you're just glad to be out and raving, and the music was amazing. Yeah. We were at gigs and there was festivals and there was so much going on. But I know what you mean. It is that thing of dressing for
other people.
Dressing for other people. I always loved the tribes in fashion. And I sometimes feel that some of that has gone, and that everybody seems to just all dress the same. Like everyone's wearing the same outfits. Yeah. I used to love the fashion tribes. You could tell people in their music tastes, you know, the grunge gang and the goths and the, you know, Teddy Boys, that's not quite the right era. But you know what I mean? You could sort of tell something about people by the way they dressed. And I quite loved that. It's gone a bit.
Yeah. I loved New Romantics and the whole, yeah, the Blitz Club and the Embassy Club in London when they were just the old...
Not Teddy Boys.
The old Teddy Boys. Yeah. The alternative 80s I thought was amazing when the likes of early Spandau Ballet and Boy George, and they just looked fantastic, like the use of makeup and the clothes that they were wearing. And it was so completely different to anything that we were seeing at the time. It was really exciting. I always wanted to look like that. That was like, I was a goth, but I always really wanted to kind of stray into that more extreme look. I really, really like that. But now I quite enjoy dressing like a grown up. There are certain brands out there. And it's just like really classy clothes. It's the kind of stuff that, Kristen Scott Thomas would wear, or Cate Blanchett. And I find myself gravitating towards those. So instead of following fashion, I'm like, oh no, actually I really like a really good shirt and some really cool trousers. And I like the way they hang. I feel like I'm quite enjoying dressing from an older woman. I'm enjoying that. Not in a fuddy-duddy way, but in a really kind of like, that is cool. That is really cool. We work with someone called Lorna Clark, and she's one of my style icons. She's just one of those people who's a boss. And when she wears her clothes, she is bossing it. And I always think, oh, I wonder where Lorna got those clothes from. And I bet I know. And I go out and but we all have those people, don't we, that we aspire to and we kind of copy on the sly. And Lorna's definitely one of those people for me.
I am in my Sue Sylvester era, I think.
Who's that?
Glee. She was, played by Jane Lynch. Do you remember? She was kind of the sports coach of the Cheerios, and she was really ruthless and quite vindictive, but sort of turned out to be, you know, the greatest philosopher of telly. No, and I played by Jane Lynch, who I love. And I yesterday had bought this, there was a sale on in JD Sports, and I was like, I'm so into my sort of summer Adidas look, but I think I'd taken it a step too far, and I had this zip up yellow top that goes sort of with these tracksuit bottoms. I put it on this morning to wear downstairs, and I was like, all right, Sue Sylvester. So I changed into this because it was just a bit much.
Oh,
yeah. I've got a shoot this week, Joe, and I'm a bit like, what is my look? Because I've had all this time out, I haven't really been doing a lot of events or going into work. I've just been talking to you on the pod and stuff. I'm a bit like, I'd forgotten how to dress. I put the bins out in my Sue Sylvester outfit, and I just had this moment of, what are you doing? Get back in the house. So luckily for us, when we do work, I've got the fabulous Arabella. Bella came round and was like, in the shoot, you're going to wear this, 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 this. I was like, oh, thank God you've reminded me how to dress in a working environment, because I've completely forgotten, and I don't know what my look is anymore. Each season you kind of have to find a look, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's what I mean about the grown-up look. That's what I'm I like brands like Margaret Howell and Studio Nicholson, but they're like ridiculously expensive. So you buy maybe one item from there, and then you kind of, or you don't buy an item from there because it's too expensive, but then you can get them from other places. And thank God for Instagram. That's where I do most of my fashion browsing now. That's where I get all my inspiration from. Just looking and seeing what Elle is saying are the current trends, or, you know, seeing what, Margot Robbie is wearing, and then just copying those people. So
you wear what Margot Robbie is wearing. Oh my God. That is amazing. I would absolutely not wear what Margot Robbie is wearing, because I'm not Margot Robbie in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who my fashion icon is these days. I don't really know. I think I'd like it to be Diane Keaton, but I'm nowhere near getting that right at all. I think maybe that will be my winter, my seasonal.
To be Diane Keaton.
Be more Diane. I can never be Diane Keaton. There's only one Diane Keaton, but.
There are some ridiculous trends around at the moment. I read about the red flip-flop. Apparently the red flip-flop is the thing for the summer. And so I've now.
Oh, is this the one in M&S?
I'm normally really, really happy with my black Havaianas. I love them. I wear them all the time. I love a flip-flop.
You need Archies, Joe. You need Archies.
I know.
So good. They're all one piece. They never come apart. They don't get baggy on your feet, and they support your arch. Most flip-flops eventually get a bit baggy because they come a bit loose the more you wear them. No, never have that.
Yeah, no. So which ones are you talking about? I didn't hear what you said.
Archies, they're called.
Oh, they're actually called Archies. I thought you were just repeating Archies.
No, I'm not.
Our feet have arches and we need arches.
No, this is what's happened. Now I'm literally wearing Asics and Archies because they support my feet. Sorry. What were you saying?
No. I just found myself browsing for red flip flops last night, thinking, I never ever in a million years normally do it, but because I'd read it on Instagram, I'm there like following, being in part of the crowd, being part of the herd. But there is, have you seen the Barely There shoes that are trending at the moment, where they're pretty much like clear Perspex or I don't know, cling film that you wrap around your foot and you show your foot off. And that apparently is a thing for this season. So you just kind of reveal your feet.
I don't know. They just look like your feet are going to sweat in them. And they, what's the point? Why do you just go barefoot if you're going to wear those? I don't really understand. It's like the trainers that are, you know, are supposed to be really good for you, that you just are literally like wearing a rubber sock. I don't know. They creep me out a little bit. I don't mind in a flip flop, but in a shoe, I don't sort of want all my toes showing through, you know, like the mesh ones.
Yes. They
make me feel a bit funny. Like, ooh.
I don't know how I feel about those because they feel so old fashioned, like the jelly shoe. I think it was just so 70s. I don't think I want to go back there. Last year, I spent a fortune on a pair of loafers and then a pair of,
I don't even know
what they are, like slip-on court shoe things that are like the secretarial look from Mad Men. I bought a pair of those as well. Have I worn either of those shoes? No, I have not.
No.
Because I'm just like, I just want to wear DMs. I just want to wear Converse. I just want to wear a pair of trainers. And every time I open my wardrobe, they're there looking at me just going, is today the day you're going to wear me? No, it's not.
No, it's
not. It just
not.
Feels too grown up and fuddy-duddy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wore a wedge at the wedding and I wore a big thick heel and actually they were quite good. I was like, oh, I can handle these. But, you the only time my crazy stiletto collection comes out, I mean, is Nell and her mates wearing them or borrowing them. I sort of am the local shoe vendor now. I came in last night. I was like, hang on. V, you can't borrow those. They're like my best ones. I need those for a photo shoot. But the kids will borrow them, which is quite good because at least they go out because they're sitting up there gathering dust. But yeah, idea, I mean, and I can only, I mean, I don't know if it's like when you work, I could wear a heel if I'm standing in photographs. I don't think I could even walk into an event or out of an event in them anymore. I literally can be like, stand, wear them. Yes, take them off, put on my comfies. I can't do it anymore.
So you're not going to be wearing the foot condom anytime soon as no people foot to on go- our team are now calling those shoes that are kind of Perspex and you can see through.
No, they make me feel a bit sick. I don't think they're very attractive. And, you know, feet sweat, don't they? And they're going to steam up. Aren't they going to steam up? Do you remember the Perspex shoe? That was a thing. I remember trying to wear some of those.
Yeah. And they look like hooves.
Well, you're always barefoot anyway, aren't you? You've never got shoes on, girl.
I know. Well, I went and had a pedicure a couple of weeks ago because I watched the bit of the podcast back and I saw that I always have my feet out when I'm sitting in this chair. And I was like, you need to have some attention to those feet. You cannot expose them to everybody on the podcast. So hence I've had my nails painted, especially for everybody here.
Yeah, the summer panic.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break for some ads.
But if you're keen to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, you can subscribe to The Potting Shed.
Yearly subscriptions get a free Digit tote bag and some Fothergill's Sow and Tell seeds.
Just click the link to subscribe in the show notes. Right, time for a break.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Dig It is brought to you by Beaver Farm.
Question for you, Joe. Do you ever wonder how you can keep a bottle of squash in a cupboard for months without it going off?
It has crossed my mind.
Well, this is the thing. So much squash is packed full of preservatives so that it can last for ages once opened. But Beaver Farm are kind of the opposite to that.
Hang on a minute. Beaver Farm?
Yeah.
I always thought it was pronounced Belvoir, which is like the really posh squash that you see in supermarkets. So not Belvoir, but Beaver Farm. Okay, right. This is news to me.
Yeah, Joe, it surprises a lot of people. But at Beaver Farm, they're completely obsessed with taste. So they make their drinks properly using real fruit juices, real flowers, and absolutely no artificial sweeteners, flavorings, or preservatives.
Which does mean that once you open their cordials, they need to live in the fridge so they can be enjoyed fresh.
Yes, slightly less convenient.
But so much more delicious.
That's why you'll recognise all of the ingredients on the label rather than sounding like something engineered in a lab.
Try Beaver Farm drinks for yourself. Enjoy them fresh from the fridge, perfect for sunny afternoons, and they're available in all major supermarkets.
At Beaver Farm, they never use anything artificial because the real thing just tastes better. My friend Beth is having a cosmic-themed 20th wedding anniversary party on the eclipse in Ibiza when we're there later on in the summer. And that's quite fun because everyone started plotting cosmic outfits.
Cosmic, yeah.
Have you seen Margot's Got Money Troubles?
No.
No. Okay, she
put... Who's in it? What is it?
It's Elle Fanning. And it's so brilliant. Michelle Pfeiffer, Nick Offerman. Oh, so good. It's about a lass who finds herself in a bit of a situation when she's quite young and what she does about it. And it's about her crazy family and how they all come together. And it's brilliant. But to make some money to support herself, she starts doing OnlyFans and she creates this character called Lonely Ghost. I think it is Lonely Ghost or Hungry Ghost. Hungry Ghost. Anyway, Hungry Ghost, it's all sort of sci-fi. So I'm going to try and recreate that look, but I might not be able to paint myself green. I'll tell you more as the outfit comes together across this.
Oh, I want to see. Okay. This is exciting to look forward to. Okay. That's good.
Anyway, it's brilliant to watch. And, also while we're on the subject of stuff to watch, have you seen Alice and Steve?
I've started it because I know you were loving it. And I watched an episode, I think.
Right.
And it's good. It's really good.
The concept here, I mean, it's quite bonkers.
Yeah, explain.
Alice and Steve. It's Nicola Walker. I will watch anything that Nicola Walker is in. I think she is phenomenal. I've never seen her in anything where she's not been excellent. And it's Jermaine Clement, Flight of the Conchords. He's written and starred in so many amazing TV shows and films. We absolutely love him. Weirdly hot, as people always describe. Oh my God, it's Nell. Hi, come say hi. Look, aww, she's here.
She's still here. Hey.
Hey, it's my sleepy girl.
I don't know if they can see me.
They can now.
Hello.
Look.
Hi, Nell.
They're saying hi.
Congratulations, Nell.
Freedom. Oh, my girl.
So oh, how nice of her around.
Oh, I know. She's so beautiful. What are we talking about? Alice and Steve.
I actually felt a little bit uncomfortable when I was watching this. You explain why.
Well, it's an interesting concept. I had so many people say, you've got to watch Alice and Steve. You'll absolutely love it. So Alice and Steve are best friends, Nicola Walker and Jermaine Clement. They've been best friends for years. And they go out one night and they get rather drunk. And then it turns out that Steve has gotten together with Alice's daughter, Izzy, who is 26. And then what ensues is the fallout of your best mate getting together with your daughter. I mean, it's too much. And I know that the reviewers are all a bit divided on whether it was a bit icky and a bit it's not real. It's just a story. But I think what it is, it's about friendship and family and crossing the line and where is right and wrong and age differences. And there's so much in this and it is great fun, but it is also some of it you are watching through fingers thinking, what would I do in this situation? I mean, if you think about it, so Izzy, Izzy's character is a little bit younger than India. But can you imagine if one of your friends started to date your daughter? I don't think I'd cope. I wouldn't.
When they go in for the first kiss, I literally was watching from behind my fingers. I definitely got the ick. I was like, oh, I cannot watch. This is disgusting. But, you know, amongst India's friends, I'm trying to think now if there are any examples of this. I've certainly got male friends or know of male friends. I'm really worried about what I'm going to say here. I think we have older friends who've got themselves younger models and everyone just goes, what? Like 20 years between them? That's going to cause problems later down the line, possibly. And I'm not entirely comfortable. But no, the idea, I just don't think that India would go for somebody who was 50 and certainly not any of her dad's mates.
Well, it definitely brings up a lot of subjects here, and the fallout is just so extreme because it then affects every relationship within the family. It affects, you know, Alice's own relationship with her fella, played by Joel Fry, who's great. I must point out that Izzy, who's played by Yali, her grandfather was Topol from Fiddler on the Roof. Did you know that? That's my random fact for you. But it is, the thing is, when you're watching it, and I really enjoyed it, but it did, I feel like it went a bit, I was a bit like, where's this going and who really loves who? And I wasn't massively convinced by them being together because I don't think they looked right together and I don't feel it felt right together. And as the story goes on, I'm like, hang on a minute, are they together or are they not together? Do they like each other or they don't like each other? But it did bring up that interesting thing of how you would feel. And I was thinking, how would I feel if one of my friends had gotten together with Woody? I mean, I would have just laughed and probably walloped them and been like, get off him.
What are you thinking?
But I've got some friends who are married and there's 25 years difference, age difference between them. And they're really happy and they are, you know, so in love. And I know that's the thing. People go, oh, what about later in life? The thing is, we don't know how long we're going to get. So you could be with someone your own age and you could go before them. You don't know that you're going to get to the later in life bit and whether that be. I think maybe you love who you love when you love them and hope for the best. But I wonder if there have been diggers who have had slightly icky situations with, and you, if you have, tell us, but you can remain anonymous if it's better for you because maybe someone you knew started dating someone you know's son or daughter or someone a little bit too close, and has it created havoc within a friendship group? Have friends of yours dated someone where you're like, this isn't right, they're way too young, or maybe you've been proved wrong? Because sometimes you can be massively proved wrong and be like, well, I wouldn't have given them a year, and look at them 20 years later and they're very, very happy. But it starts really, really funny and then it gets a bit aggy and hectic. Yeah. And by the end, I was like, what's even happening?
I quite enjoyed seeing Nicola Walker being funny because I've only ever seen her being really haunted and sad and troubled and menacing. So I quite enjoyed seeing the lighter side of her.
She was brilliant. She played the wild drinking mum, loony, and then kind of rage. She played it so brilliantly. I really enjoyed watching her here. And also I really felt for her because in this situation, she's lost her best friend.
Yeah.
And no one seems to care about that. And it's like, hang on a minute, this is a friendship that goes way back. But of course, we start to learn more about that friendship as well, which gets even more complicated as well as it goes on. So it's on Disney Plus and it's definitely worth a watch.
It is.
Because I love all the cast. They're so brilliant. And can I just say, the fabulous actress who plays her mum gets all the killer lines. When she turns to her and says, well, I'd take it as a compliment, darling, that he's, because it's your daughter. And it's like, that's not a compliment. But it's really good. Intergenerate, the different reactions in the generations is really, really good as well. And her mum has some amazing things to say about, well, just keep your husband happy and all these things about how marriage should be. It's quite epic.
This week in the garden, we have a special report from Neil Miller. He's the head gardener at Hever Castle, which is a historic site in Kent. It boasts, I mean, I know I've got quite a few roses, but they've got 5,000 roses in their rose gardens. Can you imagine the deadheading? You must need an army to do that.
Oh, but the smell.
So could there be anybody better than our Neil to give us some tips on deadheading and tending roses, which is what we need right now?
Hi there, Zoe and Joe and diggers. I didn't know there were thousands and thousands of diggers out there. I've also heard that you guys, Zoe and Joe, are mad about roses. Here at Hever Castle, we love roses, but we have over 5,000 to look after. One of my favourite is a Floribunda. It's called Ab Fab. And the most unique thing about this, it smells of licorice and aniseed.
Ooh.
We're going to deadhead, and deadheading is crucial. You keep deadheading once the flower is finished, snip it off, and in a few weeks' time, you'll have more and more blooms. So you really get your money's worth. And you just snip it down to where it joins the next stem. And another 5,000 roses, we've got to check for aphids, those green fly and black fly that kind of really attack the little tips and they suck all the juice out of the new blooms. It's very easy. Thumb and finger. Bit squeamish.
Sickless.
Just go up the stem and give them a good old squidge. In the garden, we hang some bird feeders throughout the year, beginning of the year. We feed them, and then once the birds are coming in, once we see a bit of green fly, black fly, we're a bit naughty, we take the bird feeders away, so they're still scouting around for other food, and they will attack and eat all the green fly. And eventually you'll see song thrushes and blackbirds walking around the garden, smile on their face with bellies bigger than me. Who doesn't like a rose? Roses are one of my favourite shrubs. The scent is knockout, and you have a flowering shrub that will flower from June right through to the end of October. What more could you want?
Neil, how wonderful. Hever Castle's not far from me. I'm going to go and check out Neil's incredible roses. Are you good at doing the aphids with your fingers?
No. I am squeamish. No, I don't like that.
Sometimes I'm brave because sometimes I get cross because they're just destroying the lovely flowers when they open. They've been half much. Yeah. And sometimes I get brave because if I'm doing certain bits, like I've been cutting back the euphorbia and they're a bit toxic. So you've got to do it in gloves. So I've been doing that in gloves. And then, I was like, oh, I could pull it off, but I can't feel them as well through the gloves. And I'm worried I'm going to pull the heads off. But yeah, sometimes I've just got to give some of the roses over to them. But they're so beautiful.
Yeah. No, I think with gloves on, I can do that. It's fine. But I even feel guilty about killing a green fly.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes you're like, oh, just let them have some of them. Yeah. But they can't have them all.
Yeah.
But it's a really good thing, isn't it? Feed the birds for a certain time of year when it's tricky for them to get food. But this time of year, there's loads of insects for them to eat. So hopefully they're getting a little bit of what they need.
Yeah.
So and tell time now. Paula has been in touch about her friend, also called Paula. And she says, I want to introduce you to my beautiful friend, Paula Philip Davis, and her amazing sustainable garden. Paula is the most incredible gardener with an incredible eye for design. A shout out for her would be so amazing. She works so, so hard and kindly opens her garden to the National Garden Scheme to raise money for charity. Only today, she raised over £1,400 for Macmillan Cancer Support. That's just in a day. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. From Paula's friend, Paula. Shall we have a little look then?
Yeah.
At Paula's garden. Oh my goodness me. Her Instagram is at house_Wales, and there is the house up on stilts, and look at this garden. It's had lots of water and a deck.
Oh, it's so nice. Look at the house on stilts. It's really cool. It kind of overlooks all the garden, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
On this beautiful water feature here. It's quite inspiring, actually. I really do need a water feature in my garden. There's some beautiful ferns there. Are they silver birch that I can see?
Yeah, four silver birch positioned really strategically away from each other. It looks really, really beautifully designed, like really, really well designed.
The lime greens as well. Look at the greens through that. Oh, Paula, that is stunning. So if you're anywhere in the area, check out house_Wales. And you can go and visit Paula's garden and make a little donation, and that will all go to charity. So Paula, keep up your amazing work.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
crate digging. It's this time of year when I make playlists. I don't know about you, but I really love a summer playlist.
Summer playlist,
and
yes.
We are such big fans of Yacht Rock. I will simply stick on a Yacht Rock playlist on streaming services and I will be in heaven.
Girl after my own heart.
I know, but it just makes you so happy. The music is effortless. It's bright. It's breezy. It's full of Michael McDonald. Jerry Rafferty reminds me of beautiful summers from my childhood. It was obviously a time when I was really, really happy in the mid 70s. And as soon as I hear Baker Street, or if I hear Christopher Cross and Arthur's theme or Sailing, I feel so much more relaxed. I feel like all my cares just drift away, fall from my shoulders, and I feel really, really happy.
I know. I'm like, give me some Ace. I want some Ace. I want some, you know, Doobie Brothers. I want just a bit of Toto.
What a Fool Believes. Is there anything better than What a Fool Believes?
What a Fool Believes. Minute by Minute is my favourite. Minute by Minute. It's just that piano, or is it his electric piano or organ that Michael McDonald plays? Do you know, he came in once to the radio. I was filling in for Ken Bruce, and he came in just with his little piano, 10 o'clock in the morning, and sang three Doobie Brothers classics just for me. And it was just the highlight of my life. And he's such a dude, honestly. And so, oh God, that voice, man. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm up. Yacht Rock Summer. It's a Yacht Rock Summer. Yes, please. There's these really great guys who've been doing club remixes of Yacht Rock tracks in America. And they've done Steely Dan. They've done some Michael McDonald. They're so fun. And I keep following them. The only thing is, I have to keep saying to Woody, how do I get this music? And I can't buy it anywhere physically, or you have to download it places. And I'm like, I don't know how to make this work. I've been doing it because Madonna's new album is coming out in a couple of weeks, and there's a really good Stuart Price remix of the track that she did with Sabrina Carpenter that's really dirty. I heard it in a shop the other day. I was like, what's this?
I thought you were saying the club.
The filth. Yes, sadly not club me. Damn it.
It was 5 a.m.
I know. Anyway, there I was in quarters. But I just heard this bass line. I was like, what's this filth? Love it. I love a dirty bass line. And it's Madonna. I was like, wow. Anyway, because her new album's coming out, I think it's over the next couple of weeks. Been checking out a little bit of some of the tracks dropping from there. But I did a bit of a deep dive through old Madonna, and this had just been re-released on vinyl, Bedtime Stories, which I think was her sixth album. And she worked with Nellie Hooper on this. There's a track with Bjork, it's Take a Bow, it's Secret. Do you remember? Ooh, someone's got a secret. And I think it came out in 1994, and I had a very short-lived love affair with a screenwriter. And I remember we played this quite a lot. And it was so, you know, when you go back to a record, I know you do this on your show, Vinyl Revival.
Yeah.
And you listen to a record and it just evokes the memories of that time and that summer. And I was like, I've never been, I wouldn't say I'm like the number one Madonna fan, but I am a great admirer of her work. And then these different people she would work with, you know, in the William Orbit era and the Stuart Price era. And she's quite a phenomenon. I think she is, but that was a real pleasant revisit.
So it's a moment in time. It's that moment in time, all those feelings. That joy.
I quite enjoyed that.
Another summer album. As you were talking, I just remembered Soul to Soul. Do you remember when that album came out?
Oh, yes.
And it was absolutely the sound of the summer. It was really hot. Everywhere you went to, every festival, every street market you went to in London, I think I was living in London at the time, would be playing Back to Life and Keep On Moving. And God, Jazzy B, the work that he did with that record, that is something that I stick on when it gets warm outside and balmy and you've got mates coming around. It's just the perfect background music. That and Sade as well. Sade is really lovely for some background music with the nice cider of an evening.
You Diamond and your Life, cider.
Maybe the best of Sade. I know. It's better than vodka. I'm trying to be, it's medicinal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's made from apples. It's all good. Did you sort your garden cushions?
I bought tons.
And now the weather's rubbish. Thanks,
and now, but the weather's going to get good. And I've managed to find a hammock, which I'm going to buy as soon as we've stopped talking today. And I'm really hoping it's going to arrive in time for the warm weather that's going to be with us fairly soon.
How many people can it take?
It's a family one. It's a fat family hammock.
Excellent.
So I think it'll take about, at least maybe 10. We'll get the whole family on and then plus ones too.
That's amazing. That is one huge hammock. We want to see pictures, please. Listen, darling, whatever you're up to this week, enjoy.
Yeah, likewise. Have a nice time.
Maybe watching the football has been very, very exciting. I know Wimbledon is coming. We should have been heading to Glastonbury.
I know.
At this time, wouldn't we? I think, will we have a little mini rave up?
We've got Latitude to look forward to. So many of my favourite bands are playing at Latitude, and then Wilderness as well. So they're going to be my festivals of the year. We've got the wedding on the Glastonbury weekend.
That's coming up. Well, have an amazing time at the wedding.
Will do.
And I'll probably sit. I can't wait to hear all about it. And good luck with your speech.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, I'll be practicing filming myself for that.
You'll be amazing.
Yeah, good luck with your photo shoot as well.
Oh God, this makes me feel immediately sick.
No, desperate to know what it is, but I'll wait until you've done it.
Yes, it's Vogue. I'm doing Vogue. I'm finally doing the cover of Vogue. I'm doing Dogue. The dog version. Lots of love.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye, Diggers. Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.